Einstein said, in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity, and that is so true. In this podcast, we'll focus on ways you can increase and improve your child's cognitive skills. Stay tuned.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. You can find more information about this podcast at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com and look at the show notes under Unlock the Einstein in Your Child. Well, welcome to all of you, and I want to thank our sponsor, Media Angels, and the Ultimate Homeschool Special Needs Expo, as well as the Exceptional Expo. Well, I believe every child is a gift from God, and as such, there is a little Einstein inside each and every one of them. Well, today I'm going to share ways you can improve your child's cognitive ability, no matter if they are gifted or special needs. But first, I want to share my story with all of you. I want to say that there is hope. My oldest was diagnosed with trisomy 21 at the age of 4, which led me on a quest for solutions to his learning delay. Now, I'm an educator with a major in special needs. I have a degree in elementary ed and specific learning disabilities, so I was prepared to diagnose and place my son in a neat little category and apply all the usual fixes. Because in school, I was taught to focus on a child's strength, accommodate their learning struggles, and if a child couldn't read, you would read to them. I would do extra remediation. Some of you may do tutoring, and I would also work on a deficit area. So as a teacher, we were very focused on academics in the classroom, and why wouldn't we be? I mean, after all, that's the only way that we can test results, right? And I'm sure as a parent, you're very concerned about academics and you want your children to succeed. Well, I'm going to fast forward here, and 5 kids later, I realized that everyone has some type of struggle, whether they're gifted or they couldn't read or spell. And let me say that this degree I had really didn't help me. I was not the expert. I don't consider myself an expert. But today I'm going to share some things with you that have really worked and really helped boost my children's brain, if you will, by playing these card games I'm going to share with you in a bit. So what I tend to do in these episodes of Vintage Homeschool Moms is share information that has worked for us. And I'm really happy today to talk about this because it has been a win-win. When we set up our school year, a lot of times we leave Friday for game day. And that has been wonderful, especially as the children were younger. And as they've gotten older, we've gotten a little bit away from it. So we play games at different times now. But it was a time where we could relax and do some things that were still in the realm of academics, but not so structured as maybe things were during the week. And I'm going to talk about one of our featured speakers of the Special Needs Expo. Tara Jenner explained it best when she said, "The brain is like a computer hard drive, and it needs to be repaired before we can input the information." Well, in a normal or gifted child, the brain just needs a challenge and a tune-up. Well, this audio doesn't allow me to focus on all the areas of cognitive training. There are many solutions that work, and I have a detailed set that I'm going to talk about a little bit later, the Special Needs Expo and the Exceptional Child Expo, that has helped hundreds of families. These expos are seminars very close to my heart because I created it just because I wanted to learn and I wanted more information for my own family. So I gathered some experts together and we hosted an expo There are specific seminars on neuroplasticity, which we're going to be discussing briefly today. And I know I'm throwing out these big words here like neuroplasticity and processing speeds and things like that, but I'm going to go over some definitions quickly with all of you. So today we're going to discuss some of those things briefly, but in those expo sets, of course, they're in much more detail. Today, I'm going to focus on card games and the underlying cognitive skills that will improve with the games. So first, the definitions. And, you know, if you've listened to my events, you know that I'm big on explaining things well, because I never like to just be told, oh, go do this or use this book or this curriculum will work, without finding out more about it. And if you're like me, hopefully these definitions will help you with your understanding, and also help you make some decisions as you move forward and select games that work for your kids. Okay, so first, some definitions and then some solutions. So what are cognitive skills? Well, cognitive skills are not the same as academic classroom subjects. Cognitive skills are those mental capabilities or capacities. They're the abilities needed to learn academic subjects. So when you have strong cognitive skills, you can read, write, think, understand, prioritize, remember, solve problems, you know, have really good long-term and short-term memory, and more. Well, this is what happens when you have some difficulties. There's going to be a breakdown somewhere. Now, I scored well academically on paper, but if I didn't write everything down and take copious notes, I wouldn't do well. So my strength is visual. I have to be able to hear it and see it. If I just listen to something, my auditory processing is weak. And I found out as an adult that that was one of the reasons I didn't like jokes, because it always took me another, you know, everybody else is laughing and I've got to think and then go, oh yeah, you know, if you have an area of weakness like that, that would be an indication, you know. I'm better at that. I think I've improved on all of my skills working with my kids. So that is one of the great things about homeschooling, is that I've improved with them. So, you know, a breakdown of this is, you know, we're going to talk about processing speed. So we're going to get a little bit more technical here. Bear with me. So auditory and visual processing are two things that your brain can do. There's logic and reasoning, short and long-term memory, working memory, attention span, and processing speed. So we're going to talk a lot about processing speed today, because that is a catalyst. It's the rate at which the brain handles information. And so just like if you have a sluggish digestive system or you're sluggish in some other way, like when I have a headache, my whole body shuts down and I'm sluggish. In that way, it's difficult to do simple tasks that I can normally do. So if you think of it like that, you know, that will help you a lot. So what we want to do here is we want to increase cognitive speed. We want our brain synapses to work quickly, to use all of its capabilities. And that's one of the things that playing games does. Now, my husband likens it to muscle memory. When there's a lot of repetition, where there's a lot of sequencing, when there's a lot of remembering a certain event in a certain way, that really helps. And I think that's why, as teachers, we relied on drills, because it was doing the same thing over and over and over again. Remember those, you know, math flashcards, and then eventually we would learn it. Well, not all kids can learn that way. And I found that with one of my daughters. I, you know, told her she needed to learn these basic math facts, and I got her some cards and I went through them with her over and over again. And I finally gave her the set and I said, you know, here it is, 1 + 1, and you flip to the back and it has the answer, and you're just going to have to learn them. And she had some great difficulty with that. And I started realizing that for all kids, one size does not fit all. But if you have a specific repetition in a specific sequence, it will work eventually. And, you know, and all of my kids who have had learning issues where it comes to reading have done extremely well. And I always, you know, say that they've been fixed, so to speak, because now all of my kids, pretty much except for one, love to read. And so I think that's a great success. So, you know, like in sports with the muscle memory, they practice the same type of thing or they fix something that is not working well. For example, I hear my husband talk to my daughter when she is getting ready to bat. And either she dropped her shoulder or her elbow's not high or whatever. And so he gently reminds her of these things and he keeps telling her it's muscle memory. Well, that's what we're doing by playing games. We are working that brain. And depending on what area your child needs work on, that is where you're going to be focusing. Now, it doesn't hurt, especially if you have a really bright child, to just work all of those memory areas. You know, it's not just maybe a visual processing or an auditory. It might be a combination of both. So playing games, like I said, is great for all kids, and it will really help the kids that are doing well to do even better. So why are we taking a non-academic approach? Well, because we want the kids to not be turned off the minute we start something with academics, because that they may have some trouble and there's some frustration and failure there. Or if they're gifted, they're bored. So we want to be able to do something that is training the brain, and it is a mental game, and that's why it's fun. And kids will be involved and engaged, and really and truly, attitude is a lot of learning. The kids have got to have a really good attitude to learn. And there have been studies that have been done that it really does change a person's brain structure, and it requires the brain to use more neurons for positive functions. Now, I'm not going to get into the right and left hemisphere and any of that in the brain. Again, that's information that's in the expo if you're interested in that. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I'm going to get into some specifics of games that we use as a family. Does your child struggle academically, have trouble paying attention, have a difficult time with subjects such as reading and math? Then listen, help is here. My name is Felice Gerwitz and I have 5 children, and all fall in the special needs or gifted category. Even with my certification in specific learning disabilities, that was not enough to prepare me to deal with the frustration and emotions that surround teaching kids who are bright but have an area of processing that needs remediation. It is for this reason that I gathered some of the best speakers in the country and bring you the Ultimate Special Needs Expo and the Exceptional Child Expo. Here you will learn terminology, books that might help, as well as get to know many moms who struggle and have overcome with information they will share with you. These events are ready to download now and listen to on your time. Choose one or both sets. You will find the help you need and the resources to deal with your particular situation. Thousands of downloads have helped many families, and you can be next. For more information about the Ultimate Special Needs Expo or the Exceptional Child Expo, visit MediaAngels.com. You'll be glad you did. Hi, and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today we are talking about some ways to increase your child's ability to do well, whether it's academics or just increasing their brain capacity. Well, I'm excited to share with you some of the games that have helped our family. And I want to talk to you, you know, just in a synopsis of what we've discussed earlier. When the brain stretches, new learning occurs, and this knowledge will be transferred and shared among the various parts of the brain. So responding in quick and fast changes through a variety of techniques that require sequencing, intensity, distractions, and processing multiple bits of information at one time will really push the brain to capacity. So that's what we're going to be discussing today, and I'm going to show you some games that fit the bill. Now, I'm going to give you a warning before we start with the games, and that is, please know the instructions. There's nothing more frustrating to any of us than to sit there with someone who wants to introduce you to a new game and they don't know the rules. And we sit there and we try to play it, and then we get frustrated, and then we don't play it because nobody knows how to play, and then we read the instructions and we still don't understand them. So, you know, I want to give you this warning: learn how to play the game first and then bring your kids in and introduce them to the game. It will make it much better for everyone involved. So as I stated, we want these games to be fun, so I'm not going to talk about flashcards that are, you know, math flashcards or word flashcards or anything like that. Not to say that those aren't good, but really what we want to do is we want to fix that hard drive. We want to get that brain boosting, and these are some games that will do it. So I'm going to share information about all of the games in the show notes, Unlocking the Einstein in Your Child. Just look for that podcast on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, and you'll find links to all of these games and more information there. So let's talk about the set game. They have a younger version of that. We've only used the older version, so I'm going to share that with you first and then talk about the younger version. So what you do in the set game, and that's just S-E-T, you match size, shape, color, or shade, and it really requires good visual perception. And if you use a metronome, it's going to help with mental processing speed. Now, I'm going to talk about the metronome at the end. I didn't want to overwhelm you with too much information at the beginning, and it's something that will really help. So the instructions are for you to be able to match some symbols or colors or things like that. And what you're going to be learning in this is you're going to use quick recognition and deduction. And there are a variety of ways you can play the game. Now, it is very fast paced. And one of the things that you do in this game is you don't take turns. So you have to look quickly at the images, create logical sets, and then pick out three cards that are linked, that either have that are the same or different. So in order to do this, you can play this game with less people, and until your child's really good at it, then you can add more people. So in the set game, it's fun and it's challenging, and it's going to test memory and observation as well as I already said, visual perception. So that is one of the best games that I can recommend out of all of them. That would probably be my number one, which is why I told you about it first. And then the second is Set Junior. And as I said before, I never played this game, but it is geared for preschoolers. So, you know, it's a really good beginning game. So if you have younger children, you know, to probably I would say middle elementary, then they would want to play this game. And again, it's the difference here is, okay, they're going to be doing the same matching colors, shapes, and numbers, but the difference is that they're going to take turns. And so if you have a child that's easily frustrated, this may be the game for them. And it develops left and right brain connectivity, and it increases cognitive and logical functioning at a very critical stage in your child's development. So the younger, the better with some of these games. It really is worth investing in. The second of our favorite games, it would be Quiddler, and that's Quiddler. And again, links are on the show notes on my website, vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Now, Quiddler is really, really fast-paced, and again, that's going to help with processing. You're going to arrange the cards by words, and you have to use your entire hand to create a word. So if you don't have the right cards, you're going to take turns drawing and discarding cards until you have the right letters to make a word, and you get high points, you know, for different things. So this is kind of like a Scrabble, but it's used with cards, and the difference is the speed factor here, which is really good for getting that, you know, brain in gear. And one of the things, again, I will recommend is that you obviously need to use this with kids who can spell at least some of the basic words. but it can be used to reinforce spelling skills. And so with this game, you're going to really work on the auditory processing, long-term memory, visual processing, and more. The cards are very decorative, so the kids are really going to have to look at that card to figure out what the letter is. So if you have a child that has some visual discrimination issues, you may want to go over some of the letters. But this is really great for, you know, bright kids who can spell well. And, you know, because it's so fast-paced, it really challenges you as you're competing with your opponents. They have a Quiddler Junior. I have not used this game, but there's an one for early readers, and it helps with mastering words, and there's, you know, bigger letters. I don't know. I never understood why the kids have bigger letters, because they can see better than we can, but I'm sure there's some psychological reason behind that. And so they have, you know, king-size words and colorful pictures and more in this. And they say it's kind of like a kid-style rummy. So that is another game that I recommend. All right. Blink is a really fun game because my processing speed always needs work. This is not my favorite game. You know, I don't do as well in this game. My kids like it. At first, they didn't because it was difficult to do, but it really challenges your brain. And again, when we're challenging the brain, we're requiring it, you know, to process well. And if there is an area that your child is lagging behind in, this is really going to help. So one of the things that you do is you are going to match shape, count, so if there's three things on a card, or color. And so, again, it takes, you know, really fast action to play this game. It's over with very quickly. So I think that's one of the reasons they call it Blink, because in a blink of an eye, the card you want can be gone. So, you know, of course, there's this whole thing about, you know, it takes really fast reflexes. One of the things that the younger the child is, the better they are at it. And again, it's a good visual processing. Now, this one doesn't require any reading, so younger kids can play this, and it's fun when the little ones are over. I can play with them as well, my grandkids. So, and so that's something, again, that really helps. It's going to work on your sequencing. It's going to work on processing, visual processing, and the speed. And visual and not just visual processing, but processing speed is very, very important in academics, and it can really make the difference in your child's learning. Quitch, and that's Q-W-I-T-C-H, is another one that we have. Again, it's sequencing. Again, you're in a race and everything is fast. So letters go up and down, or they stay the same, or they can switch at any time. So you have to get rid of your cards in order to win. And this game does take less than 5 minutes, and we've played it in even less time than that. So it's going to work on visual processing, short-term memory, and it is very, very challenging, especially if you like to think about things. This game doesn't give you a ton of time to think. So, again, kids need to know their letters and their numbers in order to play this game, or be able to at least match those. And the last one I'm going to talk to you about is Uno. And here you match color, number, or play an action card that allows you to switch the color. So if you want it to be red and it's blue, you can make it red. And the object is to get rid of as many cards as you can, and all of them, actually, before your opponent does. And when you're down to one card, you have to yell Uno, which is what makes us frustrated because we all forget to do that. And if you didn't and somebody else catches you, then you have to take more cards. And this is a extended family favorite. This is a game my in-laws loved to play. And I've never been a big card fan until I realized how well my kids' cognitive skills were being improved and strengthened by cards. And I realized this was a lot easier than some of the more costly things that we could be doing. So It works on visual processing, sequencing, short-term memory, and attention span. And all of the card games work on attention span. I didn't mention that with each one, but they do, because you have to really be focused. So we're going to talk now about something I say for the end, because this is, again, one of the things that I feel is very, very important. And I know, because my kids went through remediation, that this is almost the secret sauce, and that is using a metronome. Now, when my kids went through the remediation process, a metronome was introduced as a way to increase their processing skill. And as you know, a metronome is used in music to keep time or beat. And since I'm not musically inclined, that's about all the information I can give you about that. But what I can tell you is that it really worked with their speed. At the beginning, it drove me nuts because, as I shared earlier, that auditory processing is an area that I struggled with. And so some of my kids did as well, and others could just tune it out and it didn't bother them at all. So we began at 120 beats per minute, and I had to bring that down a bit because it was so distracting to one of my children that I was working with. And the idea, in very simple terms, is to get the brain processing to that beat. In some ways, like when you're playing the set game, that will increase the processing. So the brain is going to allow you to be able to listen to the metronome in the background and do another activity. So at the beginning, you're going to use the device when doing simple activities that don't require a lot of concentration. And then as your child becomes more acclimated, you can use it with playing cards. Because if you start with that, you may find that they get very frustrated and don't want to play the games, which is another reason I left it to the end. That this may be something that you want to increase as you see their skills improving. Now, at the beginning, the kids had the metronome on all the time while they were doing schoolwork as well. And that is because it is very important when learning about how the brain works and increasing your child's cognitive skills to understand some of the elements that are involved. And one of them is attention skills. Now, attention is that sustained attention, the ability to focus on a task and to not be distracted. And that is one of the things that you're going to be working on. And also selective attention, knowing where to put that focus, and divided attention to be able to recognize when you can listen to, for example, music, and also do your work. Like, I have one child that can read and listen to music in the background, which I can't. So that is one of the things that the metronome will definitely help with, as well as the processing speed. Well, I hope this has been a help to you, a fun way to unlock that Einstein in every child. And I just pray that this audio is a blessing to you. And visit me at mediaangels.com for more information about my books and products. Look into the Special Needs and Exceptional Child Expo. I think you'll find value in both of those, and they may be exactly what you need to help you to make some decisions about ways to best help your child, as well as Vintage Homeschool Moms, and listen to our audios on iTunes. If you like this audio, please give it a rating on iTunes. I always hate to ask that, but it really helps us a lot, and all of the great audios at ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com. Thank you so much for tuning in, and God bless.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at mediaangels.com and thevintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.